Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Should we do a bit of Darwin Núñez chat? Feels like we've got to do some Darwin Núñez chat.
Yeah, I think we do have to, don't we?
Yeah.
He's a massive talking point again, and as he always is. And, you know, I remember sitting here maybe a month ago now, getting really angry about it and stuff like that, and, you know, done deep dives with Josh Williams talking about him. And one of the things that Josh said that's probably stuck with me and has helped to sort of smooth the edges of my sort of opinion on Darwin of late is, you know, he puts a lot of stock into getting into the right positions, and you can see that he does consistently do that, but I keep falling down on the fact that, like, how long can he really go on at the centre forward without putting the ball in the back of the net when the chances are there? Because I think Liverpool have got the players where they can put other players into the number nine and they'll stick the chances away.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously you support and you hope that he's able to turn it around, because if it does click, my words, he's got the potential to be completely unstoppable.
Yeah.
But you question whether it is going to click for him at the moment, don't you? I mean, the offside one for the disallowed goal was so close, but it doesn't need to be that close. He's miles away from Ben, miles away from... there's no advantage for him being a foot offside. He could have been 2 foot onside and still got to the ball in time, but it's a good run and it's a great ball by, I think it was Curtis Jones for that one, outside of the boot. Absolutely superb timing from Curtis Jones. I don't think he could have done any better. But in terms of, you know, we missed 5 big chances last night in last night's game of our 9 big chances that we created. Darwin Núñez misses 3 of them. There's one that bounces.
Are these misses or saves, though? Well, I know they count as the same statistically.
Yeah. So the first, well, one of them is off the knee,
mm-hmm.
isn't it? Which I question whether he could have done any more than that,
yeah.
on that one, to be honest with you. There's the one-on-one, isn't there?
Which is the one.
And the other one, I'm actually not sure which one it is.
Is it the probably, header?
I wouldn't have said that was a big chance, to be honest, but I think it must have been the
There's
header.
One in the first half where he has another good, like, shot across the keeper, which he says
Salah,
to save.
Salah put it in, like, does a one-to-one or something.
How many dummies?
No. He has another shot in the first half inside the 18-yard box.
He's literally on at the keeper. He's just got to put it past him.
Is that the one where it comes off his knee, though? I think that's the one.
That's second half in the close range.
I thought the second half was the one you're going on about.
Yeah, that the one it hits his knee and it's the Bravka, like, close range. Second half, there's another one in the first half where he goes. I think it's before the one on one.
Salah does like a reverse pass,
and he has a shot.
Yeah. That will be it, actually, wouldn't it? Because it was actually Darwin who played the ball to Mo. It was a poor ball because it was behind Salah.
Yeah.
Salah somehow gets the ball out, and again, I question whether he could have done any better.
Yeah.
The commentators on the replays were saying, you know, it's a poor shot, but I'll be honest, I thought it was a brilliant saving a good shot, and he's had the header as well, which I thought was a really tough header. The one where he probably connects best is the sort of half volley from tight range, where that's the
coming in on the right hand
coming
side.
In from the right hand side. So even just talking those through, the one on one's the only one that I've got a major issue with there,
because that's one of them where that's Salah just slots it, and you know,
or if it's Jota, he goes round and gets a pen.
Exactly. I think that's what Paul Tompkins described it as. It's a lack of, I'm paraphrasing, but like finesse in his choice of finishes. Like he doesn't have a range of strikes. Like look at Isak's goal as an example of that.
Yeah.
Like He just runs through.
That's what annoyed me most about Darwin's miss is that Isaac scores one that's dead similar and makes it look really easy, and you sort of think, "How many would he get up top for us?"
Yeah,
and that was my first thought when he put the ball in the back of the net.
My thoughts on the Darwin thing.
The answer's 25.
Well, this is the thing. Because I look at like how many goals City players had scored, and how many goals Arsenal players had scored. Now Carragher did a big thing on a pre-match, I think, about like the lack of goals from Arsenal.
I mean, Salah scored more than Arsenal's forwards, hasn't he?
And I was a bit taken aback by how few goals actually Arsenal. They just don't have a headline goal scorer. Is the difference between them, us, and City? But like in terms of the overall output, Liverpool and City are pretty much matched. Liverpool have got more goal scorers, but I think their second top goal scorer in the league's got six, and ours has got, we've got two on five. And the thing about Darwin Nunes, when I'm quite calm about it, is whilst you've got Salah, and bear in mind I'm well aware what this leads into, I know AFCON will talk about it, no one else has got two 15 goal forwards, and I think Darwin Nunes is a bit better finishing. He's not far off being that, the types of chances he's getting and what have you. So I'm quite calm about it, because I think if he learns how to finish those chances, we're fucking unbelievable. But given that nobody else has that, I don't know whether
nobody else has that. I take the point, right? But Liverpool had Mane and Salah doing it. You know, Liverpool should probably have at least 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9 more goals this season, and we'd be comfortably the top scorers in the league. Yeah. And it's not the games that you win 4-2 where you feel the misses. It's the games that you draw 0-0 that you look back on and you rue those misses. And that's where a striker can really make his name for himself, isn't it? Because not only is he putting the ball in the back of the net, but he's putting points on the board as well.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the big thing this season, we're lucky in that everybody's having a little bit of a struggling sort of season at the top, but those six draws could have been 3 draws had we finished our dinner in those games, and we'd be walking this league. It's unfortunate that we're not. Of course, he's a big part in the team performance, but I do think that somebody else up top for Liverpool right now, and we'd be miles ahead of everyone else.
Jota might be the Mane thing in that situation, is the point. You know, if Jota's fit, he's anything, he's our third top goal scorer, he'd probably be on double figures, I guess, by now. So I that's what I mean. I totally get it. I do. I can't disagree that he needs to take more of his chances, but I look at it as a set, and I'm not, it doesn't dishearten me too much, I guess, is the kind of point I'm making on it. If at some point it clicks for him, as I say, we're going to be unstoppable. Nobody's going to stop us running away with absolutely everything. But this is the difference between buying the best and buying the ready-made, and it's a difference between Erling Haaland and Darwin Nunes.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
What will be interesting to see, Chloe, is what happens in the coming week, because it does feel like Darwin is... He seems to just like passing the ball to other people. I know he's having his chances and he's still getting loads of shots, but like there was three opportunities in that game where he just turned and squared to someone when Fernando Torres just slots it, or Suarez just slots it, or pick a tradition, Erling Haaland just slots it.
Yeah, the thing I'd say about Darwin Núñez is just nothing looks easy for the lad. Like, it just looks like it's a bit all over the place. His first touch when he's in behind, it just hasn't been good enough. And I think it's United, the one where he's through in and I think Luis Diaz or one of them try and shoot and it goes out for a corner. But his touch, he's in a great position, but it comes off his knee and it goes in a different direction. And nothing looks simple. And like you mentioned there, I think if it clicked for him, he'd be unbelievable and he could be unstoppable. But I'm getting very, very bored of him missing massive chances because it's the massive chances, like you said, there where you need someone who's calm and level-headed to just have the composure to put it in the back of the net. We're now going to be without Salah. And Salah was horrific in that first half of footy, but in that second half, he turned it on because he knew he could.
He went to a new level.
He motivated himself. He had a word with himself at half-time and came out a totally different footballer. And he can go into that gear. I mean, the outside the football ridiculous. For Cody Gakpo's outrageous. Outrageous. And I think that's the thing with Darwin Núñez is he's our number nine. He's the one that we paid millions and millions and millions for. And I think if it does click, he'll be sensational because a look at the chances he's getting now, if he manages to actually bury them, can you imagine how far we'd be blasting these teams away? Mm. The problem is that the likes of Luton away and Arsenal and obviously Man United in those big games where there's not a lot in it and that one chance and that main chance falls to your number nine, I want it to be Diogo Jota. Yeah. I don't want it to be Darwin Núñez right now.
It was interesting we put Diogo through the middle, actually, yeah. I thought was telling for that really, Dan.
Yeah. He links to play really well, Jota, though, doesn't he, Dan?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's a killer, isn't he, ultimately, as well, when it boils down to it.
I get this season some Heskey vibes, well, you know,
from Darwin
that, yeah, from Darwin I do, you know, and completely different actually style, but what I mean is,
but Heskey would lay it on to Owen, is that what you're talking about here? That, Darwin does that, well, and it was a great assist
because people talk about number nines and when they're not finishing, like, again, Erling Haaland doesn't, if he doesn't score, what else does he do? He doesn't get assists. Darwin, I think, is doing his best to keep himself in the team because he's still getting output. I think he's still our, I think, goals and assists combined, his second highest for us this season after Salah. Sorry, but it goes back to that the finesse thing in front of goal. He just doesn't have that range of finishing. And Emil Heskey had one season where he realised he could, like, dink the keeper and he scored a million goals and scored in every competition going for us and all that kind of stuff. There's just a little bit of that for him. But this is the thing. He's not scoring the chances, but also he's making loads for Mo Salah.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a thing, does Salah have as many goals if we put Cody Gakpo in the nine? Mm. Maybe, but I also don't know that.
And what else he's doing really well? He's come on leaps and bounds since he first arrived at the club. The biggest issue around this whole conversation for me is the fact that I think we've all, in different guises, now said, if it clicks for him, we've been saying that pretty much since he arrived at the football club, so that's a sort of minor issue to one side. But what he is doing really well is his performance all round has improved a lot, because I felt at times last season, if he wasn't scoring the big chances, which he never really has since he arrived, this has always been an ongoing theme now during his Liverpool career, he wasn't really contributing to the team full stop. But you're right, his assists are really good, his passing's really good, his link-up play with those around him is really good. But also, and I think it's kind of, you mentioned Emil Heskey, I spoke to him last week about this very topic, and he kind of alluded to it. He said, when you're Liverpool's number nine, or when you're playing as an attacker for Liverpool, you've got to be the first defender, and that's even more true now in a Jurgen Klopp side. You've got to do all that pressing stuff, and he's doing that really, really well. So Jurgen Klopp, once again last night, was at pains to stress just how pivotal he remains to the side. Now, ultimately, there's an undercurrent in all of this about, yeah, but what about when he's one-on-one with the keeper? But what he is doing really well is he's playing really well. He's just not finishing these big chances that we're talking about. So how long can you go on with that being the case is the major question here. Now, I've got a little bit of sort of credit in the bank with him still. Right now, I'm not sort of pulling the trigger on him saying, right, it needs to be Jota, it needs to be Gakpo, whatever. But and it definitely comes down to a situation whereby when you are playing these big games, and these games are just going to get bigger and bigger because we're getting towards the business end, looks like we're in a title race. At what point do you have to say, right, Darwin, sorry, mate, I know you're doing this stuff really well, but you've got to be putting the ball in the back of the net.
As long as Liverpool are winning games of football, it won't matter to Jürgen, I don't think, will it?
No.
The thing I was going to mention is, I read a stat earlier, he's averaging a goal slash assist every 96 sort of minutes, which is really, really good. And his vision and his pass for Mo for the first is really, really good. His touch for, I don't know what goal it is, where Sobo runs onto it. In fact, it's that goal, is it not?
The link-up one when he gets it, yeah.
And then, obviously, Diaz runs with it, passes it to Nunes, and he does the pass across the box. He's influencing games, and look at the overall, like you said, his play is really good. But the problem is being the vocal number nine, the chances come to you. You're the main one who they come to. He's now, those assists, he's assisted Salah the most. Well, you're not going to have Salah there now.
Well, this is
going to be someone else.
Well, this is the interesting point, and where the next month represents an interesting challenge for him, because I do think he's trying too hard to play other people in, because when it's not going well, you want to feel like you're contributing to Liverpool's attack somehow, and he is. He's got more assists than goals in the Premier League this season, which for our number nine is mad, you know. It's really, but I think that's what's keeping him in the team. Whereas Salah's not going to be there, so maybe there's a little bit of like, maybe just take it yourself. You know, have a bit of freedom. You don't have to think about what everyone else is going to be doing around you. Your responsibility is to stick the ball in the back of that. Maybe more people are looking to get the ball to him rather than Salah still be the ultimate focal point. Don't know, but I'd be more encouraged about that if he'd been doing a bit more of that going into it, but.
It's a great problem to have when you're sat clear at the top of the league. It's a better problem to have there than, you know, last season.
Question mark over your number nine.
Fifth and sixth, isn't it? 100%.
Have you noticed a change of opinion at all inside the ground? Because again, this is a point Heskey made to me. It's like, fans, certainly Liverpool fans, will stick by you if you're putting the work in, if you're closing people down, etc., etc. They'll give you that free pass a little bit if you want, as long as you're doing all that stuff.
I don't think he's getting the blind Nunes chanting as not much anymore. Still there,
a little bit
but
of frustration.
It's not as like, he's not so a cult anymore. It's a bit like what Chris was saying, you know, you come out at the start of December saying like, let's just chant when he scores rather than chant when he misses and see if that helps him score a few more goals. It does feel like there's a little bit of that, but still those moments where he's busting a gut and it's a great save, or it's all, you know, he's still getting the support because we're Liverpool fans. Yeah, that's course, how we treat our own. But I think it's changing slightly, so much as
people are getting frustrated.
Yeah, exactly. No, go and be good. Yeah. Go and be good, and then we'll talk about it after.
There was a part where he tracks all the way back and he makes a brilliant tackle, and like then everyone starts chanting Nunes. But the one where he's 1v1 and he misses, and months ago after he'd missed it, we'd be chanting Nunes. And this time, everyone is. Literally fuming at the lads.
All those conversations going on.
Yeah, exactly. It's not quite the same as it was a couple of months ago, but we still have supported him. And when he goes off, he gets a standing ovation. You know, we know how much work he's put into the game, but you're seeing it more in the moments when he misses big chances, because there's now more pressure on us. We're all we never expected to be in this position, but now we're here, and now the expectations of Liverpool fans are moving with it, which therefore means it feels like life or death in these games. Right. So when you miss a big chance inside the stadium, we're more likely to be on edge when you miss it.
You're less forgiving. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.